We are here at the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club. I am Pierre Lumumba, and today we want to have a conversation around the nagging subject of foreign interference. Some refer to it as such, or foreign domination, some may even say so, or the whole idea of foreign countries coming into the continent to introduce peace after a conflict. The question is, what is it? When African countries regained their independence, starting in earnest in 1957 with Ghana, I'm aware, of course, that Sudan had regained our independence a little earlier in 1956, but particularly sub-Saharan Africa, the whole idea of peace in the post-independence era is something that became very important and is not lost on many historians that in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo, barely 9 months after the country had regained independence, it became a theater of conflict that pitted the then Prime Minister Patrice Emery Lumumba and Joseph Kasavubu. And what happened is that in an attempt to ensure that peace was restored, Lumumba, in his wisdom, some say in lack of it, asked the United Nations to intervene. The United Nations at that time did not intervene in the manner that was anticipated. And what happened is that Lumumba then went to the Russian and the Soviet Union at that time. And the reason why he did so is because he assumed that the Belgian former colonizers had influenced the United Nations not to intervene in the manner that was desired. And one can say that after that, Congo has never been the same again. We know what happened. Patrice Emery Lumumba himself was abducted and then killed, and his body dissolved in acid with his tooth, only part of his body that was left. And of course, since then, there have been numerous interventions as conflict arises in different parts of Africa. One may question, why is it that African countries are the subject of the kind of intervention that we have seen so frequently under the guise of peace? And it is never lost on me that you will discover in many countries when there is an occasion that as much as justifies the restoration of peace, it is the former colonizers who will come and say, we want to be in the forefront. If it was a British colony, it is the British who will be in the forefront in terms of saying, we want to negotiate the peace. If it is the former French colony, it is the same thing that happens. And sometimes, indeed many times, it is very surreptitious. Take, for example, the ongoing conflict in the southern Cameroons. We know as a fact that in order to prop up the administration of President Paul Biya, the French are present in that environment. We saw it in Angola in an attempt to undermine the administration of the then President Agostinho Neto. We saw how during the apartheid days, it was a foreign intervention, particularly the West, who was supporting Jonas Malheiro Savimbi, using South Africa at that time. We saw that too in Mozambique when the Portuguese were also present in an attempt to remove Samora Moises Machel. And all these was designed as an attempt to ensure that the economic dominance of these countries is given its pride of place and they are entrenched in those spaces. We have also seen in the recent past that other players have also come into the arena. Of course, after the World War II, the United States of America has been the major hegemon. And in many of these spaces, we have seen the United States come in. We saw recently during the conflict in Ethiopia when they were present under the guise of peace to try and intervene. We saw the United States of America in Somalia during the days after the departure of President Siad Barre. And the question, one can give a litany of these examples of attempts at intervening to restore peace. But the question that is never asked, the question that deserves to be asked, do they come in to restore peace or they come in to ensure that they protect their interests? The one country that speaks to this reality is the Democratic Republic of Congo, which we started with. Why is the Democratic Republic of Congo so significant, and why is it that we have had intervention? We have had the Belgians present there. We have had the Americans present there. We have had the United Nations present there, but no peace is ever restored. And it is even argued that the Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, has the busiest airspace, because under the guise of restoration of peace, what happens is that minerals are taken out of that country. It therefore is arguable and debatable at once that peace has become an excuse for the continued domination of African countries. And we have seen unilateral action being taken by foreign powers, which action has interfered with peace and tranquility in a number of countries. Love him or hate him, Muammar al-Gaddafi ran a Libya that was functioning. To the outsiders, they may have accused him of dictatorship, as they are normally likely to do if you don't run a government after their style. But if you go to Libya today, after the intervention of NATO without the sanctioning of the United Nations under Chapter 7, we have a country that is torn, a country that is destroyed, a country whose resources are now being externally dominated. The question that one must ask, therefore, when you came in the name of peace, did you restore peace? Or you simply catalyzed war? And the evidence is on the ground to tell us that no peace was restored. And what happened is that violence was catalyzed, and the country is now divided and continuing to divide. So the question is, why this model? Right now, we have the situation in Sudan. And we know that Sudan is now under threat. We know what is happening, who is supporting the Janjaweed or the SFA. We know what is happening in the Darfur region. We know what is happening in the Nuba Mountains. We know what is happening in the Blue Nile. And all these is under the name of peace. The time now is for Africa as a continent, using her institutions, to begin to interrogate the real issues. The tragedy is that when this is happening, African countries are eloquent by their silence. The African Union is eloquent in its silence. ECOWAS, eloquent in its silence. East African Community, eloquent in its silence. SADC, eloquent in its silence. And this use of the word eloquent is used deliberately to mean that the silence is deafening. In times when we ought to hear the united voice of Africa, African voices are disunited. And one may ask, why are the voices disunited? They are disunited because their former colonizers are telling them, we don't want to hear you. The British are saying quietly, the French are saying, we do not want to hear you. The Belgians are saying, we do not want to hear you. The Portuguese are saying, we do not want to hear you. The Americans are saying, we do not want to hear you. And what is happening, therefore, is that under the guise of peacemaking, the former colonizers and foreign powers have been interfering in the affairs of many African countries to the detriment of those countries. And if one ever wondered, look at the number of internally displaced persons. Look at the number of refugees. And African countries that can are now turning to new friends. And they are saying, if we cannot have peace, let us have friends who are going to help us. One of the most important things that we have seen in the recent past is the increasing presence of Russia, particularly in the Sahel region, where we saw the Russians being invited by governments in that area as a bulwark against the continued machinations of insurgents who are under the control and finance of foreign Western powers, particularly France. And this in itself is a message that Africa is beginning to ask critical questions. So in a nutshell, what we see under the guise of peace is the continued domination. But it's also a message to African countries. It's a message that was given in 1963 by Kwame Nkrumah, that if you do not unite, you will be dominated by your former colonizers. And it is on that basis that the Osagie for Kwame Nkrumah wrote his famous book, which some say led to his removal from power, Neocolonialism, the Last Stage of Imperialism. And we are today in that stage, the neocolonial stage, the last phase of imperialism, and it's most dangerous because the former colonizer is now realizing that we are going to lose our trophy, and they are going to fight. They are going to be vicious, and they are going to be dangerous. And if African countries are not careful, it is going to be a battle which will be a bruising battle. The time is now to smell the coffee, as the cliche goes. Thank you very much for listening to us as we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa.